More than 127 people were killed in Iraq yesterday in Baghdad. There was a series of four coordinated bomb attacks, and that made it one of the deadliest days since October in that country. The violence struck the country just days after Iraqi lawmakers voted to hold parliamentary elections early next year. President Obama spoke on Sunday saying that that decision marked a turn toward success in Iraq.
This is an important milestone as the Iraqi people continue to take responsibility for their future. I want to congratulate Iraq's leaders for reaching this agreement. Their flexibility and commitment to their country sends an important signal to the world about Iraq's democracy and national unity, and I look forward to prompt approval of this law by Iraq's Presidency Council.
The view of that decision has changed since the violence yesterday. We're going to hear from both sides of an argument over whether early elections are the best course for a country with violent attacks like we saw yesterday. Rachel Schneller is a Foreign Service officer and an International Affairs Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. And Rusty Barber joins us. He's the Director of Iraq Programs at the United States Institute of Peace. Welcome to both of you.
Good to be with you.
As I talked a little bit about the decision on Sunday from the Iraqi parliament for early elections. You heard President Obama talk about this as an important milestone and a great victory. Rachel, let's ask you first, is this a victory?
I don't believe that holding elections in and of themselves really constitutes a victory. And I don't think we can call these early elections. If anything, there'll be elections held on schedule. And a little bit late at that. I think elections, of course, are an important event, and it will be important that the elections that will be held, I believe, on March 8th, will be secure and free and fair. Of course, that will be important. But I don't believe that in and of themselves elections are necessarily a significant marker of progress and stability in democratic development in fragile countries like Iraq.
Okay, we'll talk about that more in just a moment. But first, Rusty, what do you think? Is this decision, this vote in the Iraqi parliament over getting elections going, is that a victory?
Well, I think it is a very significant development and a positive one. Don't forget the process has been underway for quite some time now. And while it was halting and messy and fractious, which is inherently the nature of Iraqi politics, that will continue to be so, the fact is that even at the 11th hour on Sunday, they did come to an agreement to proceed with elections. And I think and I think Rachel's quite right. I mean, holding elections in and of themselves is not full-blown democracy is at hand. By any stretch, but it certainly is, I think, a very important step on a process that's been on consolidation of the Iraqi state that's been underway for some time and was for some time now and was was generally considered to be a fairly successful provincial-level elections back in January.
Well, let's talk about how much your opinions were changed in light of the violence yesterday. November was one of the least violent months in Iraq, and now we have these attacks that make December one of the most violent. So how does that change things? And does this mean that we're going to see an increase in violence there and a fact that the security is not as tight as we thought that it was? Rachel?
My views have not changed significantly since the attacks. The attacks of the past 2 days were horrific, and the loss of life in Iraq at this level is terrible, and my heart goes out to the Iraqi people who are living in this sort of environment. But even before October, there were significant attacks in August as well, and I don't think that we can call, you know, the 1 month break in November some sort of significant sign of peace and stability in Iraq. I think it was, you know, one of these lulls in the ebb and flow of levels of violence in Iraq that we've seen over the past few years, that we have periods that are very violent and then a break and then more periods of violence. And I believe that kind of cycle is likely to continue between now and March.
Okay. Rusty, what do you think? Was November just a lull in what was essentially a violent situation in Iraq?
Yeah, and the My view, my take on that is looking at any one month as an indicator of stability or the lack thereof is probably not probably not terribly helpful. I think you have to look over the long trajectory. And when I was there back in 2000, in early 2007, it really was the trough of the security situation in which you had hundreds of killings a day, bodies in the streets, open warfare in the streets of major cities, and roving bands of militias, and essentially a very, very, very intractable security environment. When I look at the landscape today as it is, these very high-profile and horrific attacks notwithstanding, they still feel that overall we've seen an improvement in the overall security picture over time. There's no
right.
question that Iraqi security forces are ways yet from being able to be to truly own the environment, the security environment,
mm-hmm.
and significant problems remain with that. And these were anticipated. I mean,
right.
people have been speaking for some time now that
right.
these high-profile attacks would be likely to increase as elections approach.
My takeaway here is that you can get the same data and from two experts get a different take on it. We've got Rachel Sneller, the International Affairs Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, and Rusty Barber from the Iraq Programs at the United States Institute of Peace.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.